We're going to bring our meeting to order. Would you go ahead, Ms. City Clerk, and call the roll of the council?
Yes, sir. The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
Honorable Pat Palin.
Present.
The Honorable Alex Heath.
Present.
She's froze, Mayor, for a moment. She is froze. Give us 1 second, Mayor.
I'm present.
She's coming in now, Mayor.
Okay, I believe I heard Councilmember Heath.
Present.
Okay. The Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
The Honorable James Whitmore.
Present.
The Honorable Ulysses Smallwood.
Present.
Mr. Mayor, you have a quorum.
Thank you so much. At this point, we will have an invocation by the Reverend Evan Hill, First Baptist Church.
Sure. Thank you for allowing me to be part of this with you all. Let's pray together. Lord, we come into your presence right now. Lord, not as a congregation of your called church, Lord, but as people that want to serve a city that we all love. Father, we thank you for Mayor Avery, for Mayor Pro Tem Hattie Portis Jones, for our council members, Linda Davis, Pat Palin, Alex Heath, Ulysses Smallwood, and James Whitmore. For our city attorney, Rory Starkey, our city administrator, Tony Phillips, and our city clerk, Ms. Brenda B. James. And Father, we come to you knowing that you are El Elyon, the Almighty God. And we ask you that we would not do this tonight, that we would not have this conversation tonight for ourselves, but for the people that we serve. Father, that we would exalt your name above all things as we seek to be used by you to make Fairburn the city that it can be. I thank you for this city. I thank you for its long history. I thank you for its bright future. And as decisions are made, as conversations are had, I pray, Father, that we would seek to outdo one another in showing honor because we are called by you to lead. We love you, Father, and we ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We'll have our Pledge of Allegiance by our city administrator.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. At this time, as a moment of executive privilege, just want to remind members of council, you received the rules of decorum that was actually adopted by Mayor Hearst and administration in March the 26th of 2018. Just as a reminder of a few of the points that was mentioned in that legislation every member of this body actually was a part of the approval process. Just want to make sure as a reminder that we actually adhere to the various rules of decorum, specifically in the areas of, that fall up under rule number 9, all council members are expected to conduct themselves in courteous and respectful manner, and the presiding officer shall enforce the rules of decorum and never inappropriate questions, but in this case, inappropriate council member inappropriate behavior will be addressed accordingly. Also in rule number 3, where it talks about each council member will, during the debate period of any meeting, no council member shall speak more than 5 consecutive minutes, but no more than a total of 10 minutes, 5-minute interval, another council member, then you can come back for 5 more minutes. Also under rule 11, it talks about, closing remarks where they're limited to 2 minutes. Actually, the rules of the quorum actually covers pretty much the standard procedure that's listed in Robert's Rules of Order. Just wanted to make sure, as for clarification purposes for the public, that was sent out as a reminder of that we will abide by the rules that was established by and approved by this body under Mayor Hirst's administration. With that being said, I'd like to, in this case, the adoption of the City Council agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the City Council agenda?
So moved, Councilwoman Davis.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Smallwood.
Mr. Smallwood, second that motion. All in favor of the adoption of the agenda, say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. Our next item in this case, we'll have approval of the City Council minutes. You have before you the minutes from the February 28, 22 regular council minutes. Is there a motion to approve?
So move, so Mayor move. Pro Tem Portis Jones.
Is there a second?
Councilwoman Davis, second.
Are there any corrections? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. You have before you the regular City Council minutes from March the 28th, 2022. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved, Councilman Heath.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Smallwood.
Mr. Smallwood, second that motion. Are there any corrections? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. You have before you a special call meeting minutes from April the 11th, 2022. Is there a motion to approve?
Correct.
I'm sorry, there's a meeting.
April 11th, is that a regular council meeting?
I'm sorry, a regular meeting from April the 11th, 2022. I'm sorry. Is there a motion?
So move, Councilwoman Davis.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Heath.
Okay, and the corrections? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. At this time, Ms. City Clerk, how many speakers do we have?
Mr. Mayor, we have no speakers.
We have no speakers, so we do not have a public comment portion of our meeting tonight. So we'll go straight into our agenda. Go ahead and sound the first item.
The first item is the 2022 Liability and Property Insurance with Tanner, Ballou, and Maloof Incorporation. The requested action is coverage is currently in place for 2021-2022. Staff recommends the mayor and council direct Tanner, Ballou, and Maloof to maintain property and liability coverage for travelers effective May 1st, 2022 for a total of $407,360 for 2022-2023 policy year, and they are on the call.
Okay. Mr. City Manager, before I make a motion, would you like to at least give a briefing of this item, or do you feel it's necessary?
Just a very brief overview. This is the standard coverage that we've had previously. We simply renewed. There is a 7.31% increase, which amounts to $27,759 increase over the previous year. That's just a simple rate increase. Our coverages are essentially the same with one notable difference, which is the coverage for our monument signs at Highway 29 and 138. Some of you may be aware that we had a vehicle accident that impacted one of those signs, I believe, last year. We found out at that time that the coverage only allowed for $5,000 worth of coverage. There was nearly $30,000 worth of damage. So we've since repaired that, as you've probably seen, but we increased the coverage on those two monument signs to ensure that if there were any other future incidents, we'd have adequate coverage. Other than that, the coverage is essentially the same as it was the previous year.
Okay. Members of Council, you have before you a 2022 Liability and Property Insurance with Tanner, Bailey, and Maloof, Inc. Is there a motion?
So moved, Councilman Heath.
Is there a second?
Councilwoman Davis, second.
Are there any questions or concerns?
Yes, Mayor.
Mr. Whitmore, go ahead.
Just one question in light of what the city administrator just alluded to.
Yes, sir.
It's my understanding that when these accidents occurred, that the city of Fairburn went after their insurance to replace the damage that was done. And we've been successful in the past. Are you saying that that's not happening now and we only have the coverage from the insurance?
No, you're correct, Councilman Whitmore. That's an ongoing process. We've not recouped what we've paid for the repair of those signs, but that is a process that's ongoing to try to go after. I believe there is a, the initial driver was not insured, but the owner of the vehicle, I believe, was. And so that is being pursued as we speak. We've not, again, recouped that funding yet, but that is a standard process that, you're correct, is typically done, and it is ongoing as we speak.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Any other member of council has a question? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Seeing none, that motion carries. Mr. James, go ahead.
The next item is Enterprise Fleet Management Master Equity Lease and Maintenance Agreement. For Mayor and Council to approve a lease and maintenance agreement which allows the city to refresh and replenish its fleet to vehicles. To authorize the city administrator to execute the master equity lease and maintenance agreement for city vehicles in the amount not to exceed $289,664. This is from the city administrator.
The city administrator had a presentation during a workshop. I'll bring the item to the floor in case anyone has a question. You have before you an Enterprise Fleet Management Master Equity Lease and Maintenance Agreement. Is there a motion?
So moved. Councilman Heath.
Motion to approve is by Mr. Heath. Is there a second?
Second, Mayor Pro Tem Portis Jones.
Okay, is it properly second? Is there any questions or concerns?
I have one question, Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to confirm that amount is for 1 year. Is that correct, Mr. Phillips?
Yes, Mayor Pro Tem, that is for the balance of this fiscal year. The $289,000 is the balance in our vehicle funding. We do not expect that we will necessarily spend that entire amount, but that is the remaining balance for the fiscal year of FY22.
All right, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other questions? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Seeing none, motion carries.
The third item is the award of contract to Magnum Paving for roadway improvements on various city roads project. Recommendations for staff is recommends that the mayor and council approve the contract award for the 2022 roadway improvements on various city roads to Magnum Pavement LLC for the bid price of $1,750,141.07. This comes from community development.
Okay, I'm gonna bring the item to the floor and then I'll ask Lester if he has anything he wants to comment before council speaks on it. Members of council, you have before you an award of a contract to Magnum Paving for roadway improvements on various streets, various city road projects. Is there a motion?
So moved. Councilman Heath.
Is there a second?
Councilwoman Davis, second.
This motion has been made and probably second. Any questions or concerns? Before I go to that, members of council, let me just see if Mr. Lester Thompson has anything he wants to add to this.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Mm-hmm. Nothing really to add, but did want to note, let you guys know that it was done based on our procurement process. The invitation for bid was sent out it was advertised on February 23rd, 2022. The bid opening date was March 25th, 2022, at which time the six bids received were open and read aloud. After completion of the bid evaluation, it was determined that Magnum Paving LLC was the lowest responsive and responsible bidder with a bid price of $1,750,000. $150,141.07. The project is adequately funded in the T-SPOS infrastructure roadway account. As such, staff recommends Mayor and Council approve the contract award to Magnum Paving LLC. Any questions?
Members of Council, does anyone have a question about this project?
Yes, Mayor.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Mr. Thompson, could you provide us with the list of the streets that are part of this contract and the schedule?
The schedule?
Yes. When will they begin the work and expected completion?
We're trying to take advantage of the warm months. So upon issuance of the NTP, they'll have 120 days to complete the project.
Okay, so can you give me a schedule of the streets to be paved, please?
Schedule of the streets to be paved, Water Boy.
No, you can just provide it.
I think it's in the packet.
It is there. Is that the order? Is that the order they are going to be worked on?
The order would be determined by the contractor, but I would tell him to work on certain streets based on certain priorities. We had some utility work done on certain streets, so I want to go ahead and restore those streets as quickly as possible. But the order would be provided by the contractor just as long as they finish all the streets within the allotted time frame of 120 calendar days.
All right. If you'll just keep us abreast of that order, that would be appreciated.
Will do.
Thank you.
Does any other member of council have a question? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. Our next item.
Next item is a 7-year lease purchase of 2 Pierce pumpers. This is from the fire department. They're requesting for mayor and council to approve the purchase of 2 Pierce pumpers to replace the aging fleet and add to the fleet due to the growth of the city and call volume. This is a 7-year lease purchase program not to exceed $1,430,000.
Okay, I'm going to bring the item to the floor first and then ask the chief of police, the fire chief to actually give us some input on why we're doing this. You have before you a 7-year lease purchase of 2 Pierce pumpers. Is there a motion?
So moved, Councilman Palland.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Whitmore.
Okay, motion's been made and properly second. Any questions or comment? Well, before I go to that, members of council, Chief Robson, do you have anything you want to give information-wise for members of council to consider before they vote?
Yes, sir, Mayor. Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Yeah, so we're asking for these 2 pumpers. And, of course, you know, we have an aging fleet. our oldest engine is now pushing 15 years, over 100,000 miles. One of them, like they said in the minutes, we're replacing the original pumper we bought when the fire department was created. And then the other pumper will be for the new fire station that we plan on opening in the near future. May I add, with us getting these new engines, it's going to put us back in position to have reserve pumpers, which is going to count towards our ISO rating. Right now, as it stands, we don't have a reserve pumper, but we're working diligently to take care of that situation. Also, with these pumpers, to respond on the increasing call volume, when we first bought these trucks, you saw in the packet, we was running 612 calls yearly, and now we're up to 3781, pushing over 4,000 probably this year in 2022. So these are the same original trucks that we're running from when we started. And also, may I add, we have close to, I would say, 6, 7, maybe 8 new subdivisions coming, along with townhomes, nursing facilities, or what have you, totaling about 1,364 more residential structures in the city. So these pumpers are very much needed.
Okay. Does any members of council have a question? No questions from members of council. All, with that being said, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. Next item.
Next item is a 10-year lease purchase of 1 Pierce Enforcer tiller. Fire department is requesting for mayor and council to approve the purchase of 1 Pierce Enforcer tiller to replace the aging fleet and to add to the fleet due to the growth of the city and the call volume. This is a 10-year lease program not to exceed $1,577,000.
Okay. members of council, you have before you a 10-year lease of 1 Pierce Enforcer tiller truck. Is there a motion?
So moved, Councilwoman Davis.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Smallwood.
Mr. Smallwood, second that motion. Any questions or comments by members of council? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
The next item is the proposed City of Fairburn travel policy. This comes from the Finance Department. They are asking for Mayor and Council to approve the proposed policy to become the City of Fairburn's new travel policy.
Okay. I'm going to bring the item to the floor and then ask our Finance Director, would he give us, you know, make speak on this item. You have before you a proposed City of Fairburn travel policy. Is there a motion?
So moved, Councilman Heath.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilman Smallwood.
That's a motion has been made and properly seconded by Mr. Smallwood. Before I go to any questions, with Mr. Finance Director, would you give us some insight on this, and then I'd like to make a comment, and we'll go from there.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, council members and citizens of Fairburn. We bring to you today the proposed travel policy that we had a work session on 2 weeks ago. The proposed travel policy was put together based on state and federal guidelines to revamp our current policy that hasn't been updated since 2009. So I open up the floor for any questions.
And before I go to any questions, members of council, I just want to make sure we understand that our policies are predicated in this case on the standard market practice for specifically for employees as well as elected officials. Questions for council is what is deemed city business when traveling for funerals or any other type of travel. So the question members of council have to answer for us today, does this type of travel enhance the city? Does the type of travel that you're approving enhance the city business? It is standard practice that going to funerals is not a standard practice, but I would take the lead from, in this case, from the city council. The standard market practice is that that is not deemed a city business headed to funerals, but I'm asking members of council, do you want to go to standard market practice or do you have a concern with that area? The floor is open for any questions.
I have a question, Mayor.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And this would go to our finance director, and we've had conversations about this. And I think one of the premises of my question leads to going back to this past January. This council, along with most councils within the state of Georgia, are members of Georgia Municipal Association, whereas we attend the conventions and other events that is being hosted by said entity, whereas we take training to enhance our ability to continue to govern within our cities. And what you have in this policy is a 50-mile statement that if it's less than 50 miles, then you cannot utilize this travel policy. And I think it's for me, I believe it could be viewed as a detriment, and it could be viewed as that with some of my colleagues, for those of us that do take part in training that GMA does offer. That's number one. Number two would be this policy that's being presented today is a policy for state government employees, okay? We're able to legislate our own policy here within the city of Fairburn. And on the federal side, when you look at the federal side, you're only looking at the per diem rate. So in having this conversation, just interested in my colleagues to hear their points on whether or not they would like to improve the current policy, which we had a lot of marks on from a previous policy, but we never enacted. And the main one that I'm speaking of today is the 50-mile radius, which we have all taken advantage of going down to the city of Atlanta every January for training, and also have an opportunity to engage with our colleagues throughout the state.
Mr. Whitmore, can I make a suggestion? Would you like to make that in the form of a substitute motion?
I certainly would.
And then the substitute motion in this case can actually be debated and then voted on.
Yes, Mayor. I would like to add a substitute motion, whereas we would take out the language as presented in this particular travel policy, striking out the 50-mile radius in order for us to participate in all activities that GMA has to offer for all elected officials.
As a substitute motion on the floor, is there a second? That motion.
Will there be discussion?
That motion fails for the lack of. Well, hold on. If it doesn't get a second, it can't be considered. Is there a second motion?
A second.
Okay. That motion. Mayor Pro Tem Portis Jones. Is now being second. Are any questions or comments? Ms. Davis actually had the floor. Go ahead.
Thank you. I thought that when I reread this, I am in agreement with Councilman Whitmore as it relates to our January function every year. But I thought when I read this again, Mr. Phillips, you know, correct me if I'm in error, that you made that particular point that it would sort of depend, that there is flexibility with that 50-mile radius. Am I correct?
If I may, Mr.
Did I read that or did I dream it?
No, so let me see if I can offer some clarity here. So the 50-mile radius is as it relates to travel, lodging, and per diem. It is not a connection to training. So in other words, if someone wanted to participate in the GMA training in January, this policy doesn't preclude that. But the policy says in order for the city to pay for your hotel, pay for your meals, and pay for your travel, then you have to go more than 50 miles. That's what the policy states. But it does not prevent anyone from participating in training. I'm going to a GMA function downtown tomorrow. And so there's complete flexibility to be able to participate in GMA or any other activities, regardless of it being less than 50 miles. So this policy is based as a guideline on state and federal policies. When policies come forth, there needs to be some policy basis for it. So we're not suggesting that we have to exactly mirror state or federal guidelines, but there needs to be a best practice basis for how we formulate these policies. Many cities look at the state travel policy as a starting point. We will always defer to whatever the council thinks is the best way for this to operate in Fairburn, but that's why we started with state and federal guidelines to form a basis for the policy. So I did want to make the distinction that you can still participate in training, even if it's less than 50 miles, you just wouldn't have your hotel and your travel covered by city funds. That's the distinction there. So this does not preclude anyone from going to the January training for GMA.
May I add on to that, Mayor?
Hold on one second. I think Ms. Davis still has the floor. I'll come right to you.
Yeah, soon. Yes. Yes. I think this is a subject that we probably need to have some discussion on, because I am on the board of the Municipal Training Board, and also a lot of the classes downtown, they start at 8 o'clock or 8:30 in the morning, and the activities and other training may end about 3, 4, or 5 o'clock. I would not be safe or feel safe coming and going every day, going down to the parking lot, coming back, going back up for an 8:30 class. And I think that's something that we kind of need to really consider. Training is very important and help us as council members and elected officials in reference to the things we do, how we do it, and what we learn to be better at making decisions for our city. GMA is a fabulous service to all the 157 or 157 cities that's in the state of Georgia. So I think it really should be some flexibility as it relates to that particular item in reference to the 50 miles. And in addition to that, I would hope that we would have additional flexibility as it relates to the per diem. In relationship to the cost of gas, it goes up, it goes down, it's extremely high. So I don't know if the IRS guideline will compensate for what has happened as it relates to the cost of gas. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Whitmore.
Yes, and I totally agree with my colleague. And in light of that, what is truly alarming, and well, let me not state it that way. Let me just say, for the record, if we did not have a policy in place, then the taxpayers' money that was pre-approved for the January class should not have been pulled back because of the possible implementation of another policy. That's number one. Number two is the fact that this is a state employee policy that we need to drill down on to ensure that we're doing the right thing for the city of Fairburn. Keeping in mind, state employees, over what, maybe 500,000 employees or so. The city of Fairburn, we have less than 18,000. We always have to keep that in mind because we can't trigger ourselves off of cities that are 100,000 plus citizens. We have to always keep in mind what's in the best interest of the city of Fairburn, especially for those of us that believe in the training that we're going through. And I agree with the city administrator that did not preclude me from going to the training. But again, the safety issue of getting up, driving down there, coming back at night, the parking fees, all that adds up. Whereas if we were just in one place at one of the sponsored hotels by GMA, everybody's in a safe place. You can continue to do the things that we have been doing for years very successfully for those of us that do take training. And I am a one that believes in the training that is provided by GMA. Thank you, Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, just one point of clarity.
Okay.
The 50-mile radius is not something that we put in this policy. It was in the old policy. I don't know if it was abided by. That's a different question, but I just wanted to be clear that we didn't assert this. So it pre-existed the policy that you're considering tonight, and I know there's another motion to clarify that, and we'll follow whatever council's will is, but I just wanted to be clear that we didn't insert that into the policy. It existed under the old policy.
I appreciate your feedback, sir, but for the record, that's not true, because what was produced to me was not a policy. We had nothing according to the administration. You had no date, no signature. So to implement something that did not have a date or a signature, because I got it from your office, Devontae Parks gave it to me. So there was no policy. I was told that no policy could not be found. But here nor there, I think we're at the state right now where we can address it. We can fix it and we can make it work. And that's why I put the substitute motion in.
And let me just chime in as well. Mr. Whitmore, in all respect to you, I'm in total opposition of your explanation of why this is needed. This is standard market practice. But as a person that goes to training for Fulton County government, as a person that goes to training previously for the city of Atlanta, living in Fairburn. And so again, for my work history, I'm in total opposition of it. And again, it is the will of council. This will be the will of council. That's why I asked you for a substitute motion. But I want to be on record clearly. I'm in total opposition. People get up and go to work every day, come back home every day, go back home. And again, the cost of living as well as the danger, again, not disregarding the concerns that's been expressed. I just have to on this particular piece express that I disagree with it. And so again, with that being said, there was someone else I think that had a comment.
Mayor Avery, I would like to respond to Ms. Linda J. Davis about the per diem rate. So in the current policy that we're proposing today, that per diem rate is updated on a yearly basis. So right now, our per diem rate is a fixed amount. So it doesn't account for inflation. It doesn't account for increase in gas. So this new per diem rate is based on the federal guidelines. So every year, the federal government, they go, they review the gas rates, they review mileage, they review cost of living and all the different cities. So that is also taking effect in your per diem rate. And as City Administrator Mr. Phillips stated, the current policy that we are under, that 50 miles is in there. The only difference is to make sure that the employees, which this policy is gauged for, the employees of the city of Fairburn, not to target any council members or for the council as a whole, is for the entire city. So if we were to remove the 50 miles radius, you're setting a precedent where every employee, if they're going on training 10 miles down the road, is able to stay at a hotel. So we are building this policy as a best practice to be fiscally responsible with the taxpayers' dollars, not just for council members, but the employees in the city as a whole.
And lastly, what I would add is the existing policy, you're correct, Councilman Whitmore, it predates my arrival in Fairburn. So I'm not clear on who passed it, who signed it, who did any of that. It predates my arrival here in Fairburn. It was a policy that was the only one existing when we arrived. That's the reason I took it under our administration to review it, to come back to council so that something could be approved. And so that was the existing policy at the time. I don't have any history on, I think the date on that, and Mr. Peterson, you may be able to help me, Mr. David. I think it was 2014, if I recall. It may have been earlier than that.
It said 2009, the current policy.
Actually, 2009. So I don't have that history, Councilman. I don't know when it was passed or approved or who may have signed it. It was the only thing existing.
It was during Mayor Avery's previous tenure, but again, the fact of the matter that it could not be found in, I guess, the clerk's office where all documents like this should be housed, that was alarming, as well as not having a signed document, but we were implementing change. And I can agree to disagree with you, Mr. Mayor. I understand you work full-time down in Fulton County, and you do things with the government, state government, okay? So I understand how you move into that mindset.
Yes, sir.
But I'm still here to say, Mr. Mayor, that I attend training. I love the training. The training gives me insight on some things that I'm considering to bring back to the city of Fairburn, and also an opportunity to engage with my colleagues while at these conferences, so that we can look at some best practices and we don't have to reinvent the wheel. I think the key to this is when we do go to training, we end up finding out that there are other municipalities that have went through the hiccups for various things, and we don't have to relive any of the heartaches because we're able to socialize, ask particular questions. And, you know, we're staying right down there. We don't drive back and forth to Atlanta like you do, sir. That's not something that we do. So I understand you work for Fulton County, but that's your choice.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, and I respect that. But again, that's why I put the substitute motion on the floor. And I'm not sure if what the finance director just stated as far as city employees is concerned. I don't know if we should be considering separating the two for your elected officials, where we go to these conferences on an annual basis, that consideration needs to be put in place.
Mr.
Mayor,
go ahead.
It's Councilwoman Davis.
Go ahead.
In reference to the policies and procedures with travel, I don't know. All I know is that it was inconsistent. The times that I've been here, it has been inconsistent from 2018. So I don't know. I remember seeing a draft one, but and the 50 miles was in that draft, but it was not adhered to. So it's just been a lot of consistencies. And that's one of the reasons why I asked for a firm travel policy, so I would know what is expected, what is the rule. And I'm flexible. I will go with the majority of our my colleagues in reference to what we do.
Well, and then responding to what you're saying, just as a point of clarity, 2009 was Mayor Hanna's administration. We just rolled with it, with what was in place. But let me say this much, what I'm concerned about. As the finance director mentioned, the travel policy is not for just elected officials. It's for your city employees and us as well. What I'm concerned about now, things that we were normally going to implement, and just spoke to the staff last week about training that I'm going to probably institute next year for some of our managerial staff. The concern I got now is that I'm concerned that I'm going to bust my budget wide open, because now training that's required for police and firemen and stuff like that, now I've got to actually address the issue of housing, which has never been a problem. That was a council. I have to be, well, I'll wait to see which way the vote go. But I just have a problem. I have a problem with this being approved as relates to what we would have to then completely, the very issue that you're concerned about, Ms. Davis, the inconsistency, mm-hmm. This policy kills all that.
Right.
And so that's exactly why we're bringing it for you. But again, a substitute motion has been made and is on the floor. Is there any other
question, Mayor? One more question before you move forward.
Yes,
in light of what you just said, I think there's another narrative to that. So we have spoken in the past when we were looking at city employees going to such trainings where we were able to bring GMA to the city, so we didn't have to worry about that. That's still a possibility out there, so it will not bust the budget. And I think that needs to be brought up, because I think we, as a government body, need to not think inside the box, but outside the box. And again, I think if we do it the right way, I think it would be achievable and something that will be respected within the city of Fairburn, both for city employees as well as our elected officials.
Okay. There's a substitute motion on the floor, and it's been properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Nay.
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 That motion fails. We're now back to the original motion.
I'd like to offer a substitute motion.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. The substitute motion is that lodging within the 50-mile radius is excluded, but per diem and cost for parking should be included.
Okay.
And I present that because there are employees who have city vehicles, and they are allowed to drive those city vehicles to training. That's an inequitable among the employees, and for that reason we should pay for the per diem and for parking.
Okay, a substitute motion, hold on, before I do anything else, I have to get the substitute motion to the floor. Is there a second?
Can I please get her clarity on her motion? Her motion is lodging within the 50 miles should be included.
Excluded. Yes.
But per diem and parking should be included.
That's correct.
Before that motion goes to the floor, I just wanted to clarify that the per diem is not limited to the 50 miles. So,
well, that's been the basis of this discussion. But can we get the second before we continue the discussion, please?
Was there a second?
Second, Councilman Heath.
Second.
Mr. Heath actually made a second.
Okay.
Go ahead. Mr. Finance Director, go ahead and make, for a point of clarity, go ahead.
Yes. To clarify, when anyone is on travel, you still get your mileage. So there's a difference between the mileage and the per diem. Anytime someone is doing city business, you still get your mileage. The per diem comes into effect if you are 50 miles and more. Per diem, you're talking about lunch, breakfast and dinner. So if you go on a training, you still get your mileage for driving your personal vehicle.
Okay. But okay. Ms. Jones, Ms. Jones, do you have any?
My motion stands as presented.
Okay. And so that was a motion has been made, a substitute motion has been made and properly second. Before we go into that, I had one other question. Ms. City Clerk, let me ask you a question. I want to make sure I do this in proper. Another question came in. If someone travels to a funeral is it considered city business? When people go to funeral, my question is, I'm trying to figure out, can I ask that question now with the midst of a substitute motion on the floor, or should I wait?
You want to ask a question, but that's regarding the lodging and the per diem? And it depends on what you're going to a funeral for now. If you're going to a funeral, and that's something you all would have to decide if you pay for that. But I don't see why you can't do it in discussion.
Okay, so in this case, we're in discussion.
Per diem and everything under this motion.
My question would be, Ms. Jones, and you tell me the concern I have is that I actually don't have a problem with your substitute motion, and it's been properly seconded. My question is, I want to make sure before we move to the next item that I address to the members of council, do you deem going to funerals that may or may not have anything to do with city business as acceptable travel and per diem?
That is not part of my motion or discussion. I think that should be a separate item.
Right.
Okay, so that's totally separate. Okay, in this case, the motion is on the floor and has been properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. My question before the item has passed, my question is, I still need an answer from the will of the council as relates to that particular issue, as it relates to when members of council go to a funeral or go out of town, or if it may or may not be deemed city business.
Well, who defines that, Mayor, and how do you define it? I mean, you're opening a can of worms. If you want to attend a funeral because you want to be present for that, that's your decision.
Okay, then.
As it would be mine, but that should not be the city's responsibility.
No, the question is if the city is going to pay for mileage. My concern has to do, because in this case, the very thing Ms. Davis just talked about, the inconsistency, that was an inconsistent area that I'm bringing it to the body, trying to get clarification. Either the will of the body agrees, when you go to a funeral, we'll pay your mileage, or we don't. I just need a direction from the...
I say no.
No.
No. I say no.
Okay.
Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Let me be totally transparent, since it's not coming out that way. So let me be totally transparent. There is a request from a citizen for a proclamation for a family member that passed, who lived her life to be 92, 93 years of age, okay? And I did travel on official business to present that proclamation. I think that that's classified under official business. I represented the city, I read the proclamation, signed by yourself and my fellow council members here in the city of Fairburn. You didn't know about it.
You still got the floor. Go ahead. You got the floor, sir.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I called the mayor at the last minute. It was a funeral. Somebody passed. The mayor said, yes, we will prepare one. And I did travel and I officially took care of that business. It's the same difference when Miss James' mother passed and we all traveled down to that part of Alabama. Okay, we still went on official business. I wasn't even on council. All right. But funds were generated and used during that time frame because a lot of the city officials went. So I think that you have to have total clarity. I'm not saying that if I was going to Mary Sue's funeral in Macon, Georgia, I'm going to attend because that's what I'm going to do. But when you have a proclamation or a resolution that's being presented for the, from the city of Fairburn, that's an official official business, sir.
Mayor, may I speak?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
All right. So as we continue this discussion, more elements get put into play. Now, when we began this, the statement was to attend funerals. There was never any indication of presenting a proclamation or traveling on behalf of the city. I think we need to define, and this could go on to ad nauseum, quite frankly, and this will continue to come up. When am I on official business and when am I not? And should I be reimbursed for it? So I'm confused and conflicted by it, Mr. Whitmore does bring up a point about representing the city, presenting the proclamation. But that is different than me deciding to go to a funeral because I respect that individual. That's my decision, and I am willing to pay for it. And in fact, that's what I have done the entire time I have been on council. I was not reimbursed.
Well, then that's been the standard market practice that I've been aware of. But again, because Mr. Whitmore, it wasn't my intent to even identify you as the person at the point of subject. But my question is, from the finance department and the city administrator, my position was trying to get an idea of either we're going to do it or we're not. But in my efforts to bring consistency in this area in particular, again, I've never done it. And so my question is simply, in this case, the will of the council. So one way I could do it is, in this case, is actually determined. In this case, you have members of council send me simply an email, give me your position, and then we'll bring that subject matter back up later. That way we don't prolong this.
I think we've gone over.
Yeah, that's fine.
And that's may I add one comment, please?
Yes, sir.
My colleague, Mayor Pro Tem, so eloquently put it, because the initial presentation was not representing the city with a proclamation or a resolution. And that's why I spoke up, because for whatever reason, it just seems that each council meeting, there seems to be something steered around myself, whether intentional or non-intentional. So I just want to be on record for speaking up for truth and speaking up for what I think is the right thing to do. And that's what I'm doing here this evening, sir.
And as a court of clarity, members of council, the person deceased had no relationship with the city of Fairburn. And so again, I didn't have a problem because again, that was a request Mr. Whitmore made or somebody I assume he knew, but the person has no history of Fairburn and no relationships in Fairburn. So that was part of my concern, but what I'll do, and like I said, I think we'll send that out to council and just get, in this case, I can come up with some type of consensus of what either we'll go this direction and I'll bring you the results back.
I do think we should define on official business. That should be the criteria.
Okay, then we'll come up with a proper statement and we'll send that to council and you can respond accordingly.
Thank you.
Ms. Clerk, go ahead and go to the next item.
Let me ask Ms. Jones a question. She motioned that lodging within 50 miles be excluded, but was your motion, were you approving the entire contract? Would that change? Because your motion was just to take lodging out. It was not to just approve the entire contract.
That is correct. My substitute, the original motion on the floor was to approve the travel policy as presented. My substitute motion is to approve the travel policy.
That's
to
what
exclude,
I mean. That, right,
to exclude
okay.
Lodging within 50 miles radius, but to include mileage and per diem.
Yeah, and I got that. It just did not say approve the policy.
And so parking.
Make sure you all are clear
parking.
that included approving the policy, but excluding the 50 miles. I got you.
Okay, let me, and I need to take a vote on that, correct?
Sir, she also did say parking.
She yes, said parking.
She said parking, but she did not include to approve the policy. It was like she was just doing that one little section with the $50 and the per diem and the parking. So I just wanted to clear that she's approving the entire policy with that change in there.
That motion has been made and properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Thank you.
That motion carries.
Thank you. The next item is the Mental Fitness 21st Century Learning Incorporated Uses Agreement. This is from Recreation for Mayor and Council to approve the Uses Agreement for Mental Fitness 21st Century Learning Incorporation for the 2022 Summer Camp Program.
Okay, you have before you a Mental Fitness 21st Century Learning Inc. Usage Agreement. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilwoman Davis.
Okay, any questions or concerns?
Councilwoman Davis, I have a question.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You know what, Ms. Davis? Ms. Davis, can I do this so that we can clear up, I think, something that, and I apologize. Mr. City Manager, could you at least tell the members of council if there's any modification of what has changed since the last time this item came before them? And that way we can ensure that they can ask questions with the entire update.
That was going to be my question.
Moderator. So I'll be happy to do that. And then I'll defer to Ms. Payne to answer any additional questions from there. After the last council meeting, we took the opportunity to meet with Mr. John Childs and to talk through the agreement to see where we could create some flexibility. As you may recall, at that time, the monthly amount was $2,340. In meeting with Mr. Childs and talking through where we could find some flexibility, $400 of that was for cleaning supplies that Mr. Childs clearly indicated he was more than capable of providing through donations and other means, and that he was more than willing to take full responsible for cleaning the facility as it relates to his program, not others. And so in D6 in the agreement, there's a reference to mental fitness staff is responsible for the daily cleaning of the Fairburn Youth Center and the Fairburn Education Campus. There's some more language about restrooms, common areas, talks about the type of cleaning that's required. So we agreed to do that and thereby remove that $400 charge. That lowered the amount from $2,340 where it was initially to $1,940 a month, a reduction of $400. Now at $2,340, based on 50 kids at the current $150 rate, that would have allowed Mental Fitness to keep about 92% of the revenue. At 60 kids, which is the target, and they've been able to meet that pretty consistently over the last several summers, it's about 93% of the revenue. And so we've now lowered that to $1,940. So it's probably upwards of 95% of the revenue is retained by Mental Fitness. And so we did make that adjustment, and that's the difference between what was before you previously and what is now before you today. And with that, I'll allow Ms. Payne to answer any other questions that council members may have.
Ms. Davis, you had the floor.
That was the exact question I was going to ask that you asked.
Okay. Ms. Payne, did you have anything you want to add to this?
Just to add that there was also an increase in the registration of Mental Fitness as well this year. When we initially started this contract, we were at $90 per week per child. Now their weekly rate this summer will be $150 per week per child. So there has been an increase of $60 for the registration, weekly registration of Mental Fitness as well. Mr. Phillips noted that Mental Fitness will take on the charge of providing janitorial supplies as well as facilitating the janitorial tasks that are needed throughout the facilitation of their program.
Okay. Is there any questions by members of council?
Is Mr. Childs present?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. So could you just give us a little bit about this program? And the reason I'm asking you to do so is because of the lengthy discussion that we had at the last meeting. That in conjunction with the fact that this agreement is from May to August. Is that correct?
Two-month agreement.
Yes. And so could you just talk a little bit about the program, and especially since, you know, we do have a history with you, as Councilman Whitmore, he did eloquently state that. And I think it's appropriate for people to understand why he was so passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And so if you'll just talk a little bit about who you are and the program, please.
Okay, yeah, sure. This would be year six for us here in the city of Fairhaven. This is approaching my 10th year in business after a good career and as a certified teacher. And let me just say to members of council, Mayor Avery, it has been an absolute pleasure. And I appreciate every yes vote and kind word that I've ever gotten while coming before you all. I know that we over delivered and under promised on purpose. I don't believe that any of us thought we would be here at this point 6 years later, but I really feel good about what we've done here in the city of Fairhaven. And thank you all again. So I started this program back in 2013. Somewhere around 2015, Councilman Whitmore and Councilwoman Portis Jones and Lydia Glaze, and even then Councilwoman Hurst gave me an opportunity to present the program to you all as a means to provide high quality STEM and STEAM enrichment for kids that otherwise could not afford it. And my promise was that I would keep the pricing affordable. And the way that I was able to do that is because of the subsidized rent that we were paying with the city of Fairhaven. And I thought that was fair, and we certainly delivered on everything that we promised. I had a great meeting with Ms. Phillips, Ms. Payne, and I think Ms. Chris the other day, where they outlined how the city of Fairhaven Parks and Rec is now moving towards a more uniform way of charging vendors and programs where they want to do an 80-20 revenue split. And I think I expressed to them in that meeting that I totally get it. If that's a standard rate that they would want to start taking on, I totally get it. What it does is it highlights the misplacement of my program in Parks and Rec. We're neither parks or recreation. We're an educational program, and I would be irresponsible in my duties as the executive director to give anyone 20% of what we take in. So I know that whether or not, no matter what happens, we wouldn't be able to move forward with that kind of agreement. But again, I certainly appreciated Mr. Phillips and Ms. Payne for, you know, being very nice and having a meeting with me and letting me know what things were going on.
Jones, you still got
thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Any other members of council have a question?
Just a question for our city administrator. Again, whenever things are coming up on council, I have an opportunity to follow up with key people. And in speaking with Mr. John Childs, it's my understanding that for the summer program, he was looking at going back down to the campus down there. And he was actually asked a question because the contract actually calls for both the youth center and down at the campus. But he already indicated that he can do the whole program from the campus. So I was kind of surprised that the youth center was not taken off. Is there any reason behind that, sir?
That did not come up in the meeting that Mr. Childs just referenced with me. So that may have been a conversation that he had with you, Mr. Whitmore. We're certainly willing to make that adjustment. If Mr. Childs would like to, you know, locate the program solely in one facility, we'd be happy to. We would never charge him for a facility he wasn't using. But that wasn't a part of the meeting he referenced that he had with myself, Ms. Chris, and Ms. Payne. So that's new information for me. I wasn't aware of that until you just mentioned it. But please be assured that we would be more than willing to make that adjustment and would work with Mr. Childs to do so. So that's not an issue at all.
Thank you, because it was my understanding that that conversation was had with Ms. Payne, Mr. Childs, not you.
Okay.
I would assume that she would have made her way back to your office to state that, because when I heard it, I said, well, you shouldn't be signing a contract for two locations if you're not going to use one. So I think the contract should reflect what it is he's going to be using and not both facilities.
We're on the same page, Mr. Whitmore. In fact, I apologized, even though I wasn't here, to Mr. Childs and told him the fact that he paid for a space that he didn't use for a period of about 5 months during the pandemic. I'm not quite sure. I wasn't here at the time. I assured him that would never happen under our operational model. So no, we would never charge him for a space he wasn't using. And so now that I'm aware of that, I appreciate you sharing that, Mr. Whitmore. I can assure you we're more than willing to make that adjustment, and we'll follow up with Mr. Childs and see if we can, and it delineates which facility costs how much. And so, you know, we can make that adjustment based on what you approve.
Thank you. And also just a secondary comment, Mr. Childs did receive federal funding during the pandemic. So he had to pay that rent to the city. All right. Otherwise, they would have came back after him. So he continued to pay, even though he wasn't using the facilities, because of the money that was given him by the feds. So
let me add a bit of clarity to that. So we actually didn't have to use it all for rent. That was a choice that I made because, as I said to Ms. Payne and Mr. Phillips, I've never really considered myself a renter or a temporary presence in the city of Fairburn. I always consider myself a partner. So that was a choice that we made. We certainly had some leeway there with those funds.
Mayor, is it okay if I add a moment of clarity? Yes. Just wanted to add that we did have a conversation of a possibility of only utilizing the college, but nothing was ever confirmed about the possibility. But it was mentioned that there could be a possibility in the future to only utilize the college and only use the gymnasium maybe for recreation space. So I just want to add that it was not confirmed yet.
Okay.
That's probably just miscommunication, because it was confirmed on my end. I had no intention of using the youth center at the usage rate that was presented. So that's probably my fault in not making it more stern.
But, okay, yeah. Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. That being said, we now have an item that's on the floor. It's been motioned and properly seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? That motion carries. We're going to have a finance report.
The next item is the finance director's monthly report.
Mayor and Council, as Mr. David prepares to deliver the finance report, one of the consistent transparency reports you will receive going forward is what Mr. David is about to share with you, a monthly finance report in conjunction or prior to the city administrator's monthly report. We just want to be as transparent as possible. And so with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. David to go through the finance report for this current month.
Dr. Parks, could you please? Good evening, Mayor, Council members, and residents of Fairburn. I come before you this evening to provide the City of Fairburn's mid-year financial update. Next slide, please. The City of Fairburn's general fund concludes its 6 months of 2022 operations with $7.6 million in net cash flows. To date, the general fund has generated $14.9 million in revenues with $7.3 million in general fund expenditures. As of March 31st, 2022, the city has collected 70.42% of its year-to-date revenues. To date, the city has expensed 34.43% of its budget. However, expenditures are anticipated to increase. Property tax and sales tax revenues represent the city's general fund's primary source of operating resources. 52% of real property tax and 17% of revenues come from sales tax. All revenue streams are on track to meet the budget. Next slide, please. Our revenue projections for fiscal year 22 are roughly over $21.2 million. As of mid-year, we have collected $14.9 million, which equates to 70% of our revenues hourly collected as of mid-year. Next slide, please. In the month of March, the city has collected $1.6 million in revenues. As this trend continues, we are confident that the city will reach its projected $21.2 million revenue forecast. Next slide, please. As of mid-year, the current expenditures for the city are $7.3 million, which equates to 34% of the budget. As the city continues to follow its conservative spending approach, we will continue to be in alignment with the budget. Our property tax revenues have steadily increased by $1 million each year, and as the city of Fairburn continues to grow, this trend will likely continue as well. As of March 31st, we have collected 94% of our property taxes, which are made of real property, personal property, and public utility tax. The City of Fairburn's Enterprise Fund concludes its 6 month of 2022 operations with $1.3 million in net cash flows. To date, the Enterprise Fund has generated $9.7 million in revenues with $8.4 million in Enterprise Fund expenditures. As of March 31st, 2022, the city has collected 48.20% of its year-to-date revenues. To date, the city has expensed 41.59% of its budget. All revenue streams are on track to meet the budget. Our revenue projections for enterprise funds are roughly over $20.3 million. As of mid-year, we have collected $9.7 million, which equates to 48% of our revenues already collected. In the month of March, the city has collected $1.4 million in revenues, and 99% of those revenues stem from the collection of utility services. As of mid-year, 41% of the budget has been expensed, which again highlights our conservative approach to spending while also providing excellent customer service to the residents of the city. This concludes my financial report. I thank you for your time, and I now open up the floor for any questions.
Miller, council got a question about that report.
Yes, Mayor.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Ma'am. Yes, Mr. David, thank you so much for that mid-year financial report. I am happy that we're now receiving this information. A couple questions. One, and I don't know if you have the answer to it or Mr. Phillips and or the mayor. And that question is, now that we have the mid-year financials, are we planning to do a mid-year budget review, meaning reallocating some of the dollars that we originally established in the budget? Are we planning to do that, and when?
Yes, we are. Currently, the past couple of weeks, I've been meeting with every single department head to go over their budgets to see where they stand. City Administrator Mr. Phillips and Assistant City Administrator Ms. Chris and I will sit down this coming weeks to figure out what we need to present to council, if we need to do a budget amendment or not.
All right. Thank you for that. Go ahead.
Sorry, Ms. Jones.
Mayor Pro Tem, I just wanted to add to that. One of the things that I instituted upon arrival here in Fairburn was mandating or directing that every department head meets with Mr. David once monthly. Every month. One, I need department heads to be experts on their budgets, and so that they are familiar with them, they know.
Mr. Phillips, you're muted.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry. My apologies.
You're muted again.
Okay, I'm not muting. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, my apologies. One of the things I put in place upon arrival was a directive that every department head meets with David with finance once a month, every month. I wanted to ensure that our department directors are experts in their budgets, in their year-to-date spends, and what their operational needs are. That also opens up a dialogue, Mayor Pro Tem, so we know month to month what their needs are and what we need to make adjustments. And so we've met with them and we consult with them in a collaborative process. And so we will be bringing forth at the next council meeting some budget amendments that are a result of those month-to-month meetings with department heads where we are at mid-year, and some budget amendments and budget adjustments that we'd like to make at the mid-year.
All right, thank you for that. So my second question is regarding the financial anomaly that we've experienced this last couple years. And that has to do with the American Rescue Act and the other federal program, which we received large amounts of money. I understand that the first report is due the federal government on the American Rescue Plan. Question, have we submitted our report? Are we on task to submit that, which is due April 30th? If no, are there, what are the issues or concerns regarding us getting that report in? Because there are going to be substantial penalties if we are late. And I also understand that they're having some challenges with the website for which you're supposed to be submitting that report. So could you just update us on that, one? And then two, can you provide us a copy of that report? And three, when will we have a discussion about the other budget that we established where dollars were going to be available to help our residents with utilities and rental slash mortgage payments?
So to answer your questions, I'll let Mr. David give you details. Yes, we're on track. Our team closely monitors all reporting deadlines. And so we're fully aware of that April 30th deadline. Mr. David's going to give you some additional details. Your second question was, can you get a copy of the report? Most certainly you can get a copy of that report. And so I'll turn that over to Mr. David in just a moment. Lastly, you ask about the current ARPA funds that we have in place. That is one of the agenda items at our mayor and council retreat coming up this weekend. And so we'll delve deeply into that, where we are and the path forward as it relates to ARPA funds. But with that, let me let Mr. David talk about the reporting for April 30th.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Yes, we are on track. Actually, today, the federal government had another training where they walked through step-by-step how to submit that report. And we were going to submit that report today, but just like you stated, their portal is having issues. So I contacted the federal government today and we created a ticket where they expedited so that way they can get back with me so that way we can actually submit the report. But we are ready. We have the information that we need to submit that report as soon as the portal comes back up.
Well, thank you both. All of that is great news. I really appreciate that. And I look forward to discussing in detail the expenditure of the ARPA dollars. Thank you very much.
Any other member of council has a question? Seeing none, we'll go to the next report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of council, I am honored to present to you the city administrator's monthly report for the current month, actually for the month of March. I just want to touch on a few highlights. Hopefully you've had a chance to see all of the department updates, which, as you know, constitute the city administrator's monthly report. Each department provides their monthly report, which largely gives us an operational overview department by department. I just wanted to touch on a few highlights. We are very excited. Today was the first day for our new human resources director, Ms. Talisha Champagne. She has an MBA, a PhR. She comes with over 15 years of experience. She has a really impressive set of skills, really rose to the top through our recruitment process. Today was her first day in Fairburn, so we want to welcome Ms. Talisha Champagne to the team here in Fairburn. We're excited about having her. She brings, again, an impressive skill set, and it's another step forward. We're building the best team around in the city of Fairburn, and so I'm proud of all of our directors. I'm proud to add Ms. Champagne to our team, and we're looking forward to her contributions. That also leads me to talk about our continuing efforts around proactive recruitment for all of our open positions in the city to help move forward or elevate our departmental service delivery. Our vacancy rate has been significantly high, but in the month of March, we onboarded 9 new employees across 5 departments, including city clerk, finance, fire, streets, and utilities. We're making progress. And so there's still room for us to grow in filling those positions. And that connects directly to our ability to deliver services to the residents of Fairburn, which is our everyday goal. And so we're moving forward on that. Adding Ms. Champagne to the team is going to escalate that even further. There she is. We're excited to have her on board. Hello, Ms. Champagne. And so she's going to be a big asset for us.
Please also, comment, Ms. Champagne.
But yeah, let me stop and let her introduce herself. Ms. Champagne, go right ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Mayor Avery, Mayor Pro Tem, and all honorable members of council. Thank you all so much for this opportunity to allow me to introduce myself. I am super excited to be a part of the Fairburn team. I am definitely interested in being a part of our branding, which is situating us to succeed. I am very excited about that. I had a wonderful first day today in meeting our city administrator, our assistant city administrator, and working with our staff. I have some really good ideas that I've started kind of implementing thus far to really get us on the right track, but I am definitely excited to be a part of the team.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Again, welcome. We're really grateful to have her on the team and looking forward to big things. Next, the implementation of the ClearGov budget cycle management platform that we talked about at the last meeting will begin in May. It will significantly increase the transparency and accessibility of the city's finance information while simultaneously enhancing efficiency and productivity for city staff. We're looking forward to it being a good resource for us through the budget season for FY23, which will be going through this summer. So that's another improvement operationally that we're really excited about. We've also established a communications consultancy with Ashley Nicole Communications, assisting the city with expanding our communication efforts as a consultant. There's a great opportunity to promote the many projects, events, and initiatives currently underway in Fairburn and to sharpen our overall public communications. We are situated to succeed. And oftentimes what happens with communications is the story is going to be told. The only question is who's going to tell it. And without some communications efforts that are proactive, oftentimes other narratives get told, or folks aren't aware, our own residents aren't aware of all the good things that are happening here in Fairburn with the departments, with the various things that are going on. So we want to make sure we do a better job of telling the Fairburn story. And this communications consultancy is going to help us in that regard. The renovation of Fire Station 21 is well underway. Already there are significant improvements there. Ms. Chris has kind of taken this as her cause under her arm. And so she's been going by there on a regular basis. Our buildings director, Mr. Harvey Stokes, did a great job in getting that project up and running, working with Chief Robinson. The feedback we're hearing from the firefighters is they're very appreciative of the improvements that are being made. The project's not quite done yet, but we are well underway. There's some significant improvements that have already been made, and we're looking forward to that coming to completion sometime in the very near future. I also wanted to mention that we have a plan in place to begin moving towards reopening city facilities on May 2nd. We are closely monitoring all of the information from the CDC, from the State Department of Health, and we participate weekly in the Atlanta Fulton County Emergency Management Agency COVID call each week. So Chief Robinson participates that along with cities all throughout Fulton County. We are monitoring all of the numbers and will adjust our reopening plans as the pandemic moves along. There is a BA.1.2 variant out there now. We are closely watching that and looking at all of the factors that go along with reopening. But it will be an opportunity for citizens to be able to, again, come to city facilities, to be able to come to City Hall. And on May 9th, we will have our first in-person city council meeting in quite some time. So we're looking forward to that. We are taking all precautions, and we will continue to keep our finger on the pulse of this pandemic, and most importantly, on the public health information that is coming from all of those agencies I mentioned a little earlier. And so that is another process that's underway. And lastly, as I referenced a few moments ago, we're really leaning forward and excited about the mayor and council retreat this weekend, the opportunity to really roll up our sleeves and hear from you as elected officials, providing us with some direction that we will use to operationalize and kind of springboard into FY23. And so this is a great opportunity for us to really get some guidance and input from you as council members. And that's going to help us tremendously as we take your vision and turn it into operational realities. And so we're looking forward to this weekend. It should be a really great time for us to get some good work done. And with that, I'll pause and see if there are any questions I can answer.
Anyone, member of council, has a question? Mr. Phillips, I did have one question, and you can tell me if we need to. The policy that you indicated that was approved by council last year as relates to mandate, was it mass mandate that we talked about?
Yes, sir.
And yes, so, sir. And I guess my question would be, and I guess when we open, we were technically we have to follow what was approved, and so then we come back and have a we're going to have do an assessment between now and the next council meeting. Okay, because that's something that I just wanted to be open with your members of council. We're having to consider what was approved versus what now in this case is a different changing of numbers with the CDC. But do you want to comment on that now or later?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor. There was a mask mandate that was extended late last year. Anytime we take on these tasks, we always look to see what council mandates or directions we have. So we're looking at that policy very closely. The language in it largely connects to commercial businesses. And so we're engaging a kind of a dialogue with the city attorney to make sure we have clarity as to exactly how that ordinance applies. Excuse me. But whatever direction he gives us as to how that applies to city facilities, we're going to follow whatever council has passed. And so we're definitely looking closely at that, as well as I mentioned, keeping track of all the public health guidelines and data that's out there. And as you know, that changes from time to time. And so what I mean by keeping our finger on the pulse is no one really knows where this pandemic is going to go. And if for some reason the numbers started to go in one direction significantly or the other, we would adjust accordingly based on public health guidelines. And so this is a kind of ongoing thing that we have to keep our finger on. The hope is that it moves from a pandemic to an endemic, and I won't get too far into the weeds on that and the details, but that it becomes something we can learn to live with. So whether that happens or not is up to the public health guidelines. We'll follow those closely and make sure that we're doing everything we can to keep our employees safe and our citizens safe as well.
With that being said, I'm going to go to Council Cummins. I'll start with Mayor Pro Tem Hattie Porter-Jones.
The only comment I have is to welcome Ms. Champagne. We are pleased that you are here, and to compliment Mr. Phillips on his hiring skill set. You seem to have identified some very, very good people to work for Fairburn, and I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. I'll go to Mr. Smallwood, sir.
Good evening. Again, welcome to Ms. Champagne, as well as I wanted to give a salute to Chief Bazitlo, because it is that time of year where the Renaissance Festival is on this side of the road and the residents in Durham Lakes can't get out. But all it takes is an email to Deputy Chief Bazitlo to let him know what's going on. And Saturday, yeah, they did get us coming through Durham Lakes Parkway where we couldn't move. But Sunday, he adjusted his schedule and he made sure he was on the other end up there, and we could move around very well. Of course, we love the business in the city. I mean, it is really, really packed. So post-pandemic, Renaissance Festival is back kicking, and that's a good thing. But thank you, Deputy Chief Bazitlo.
Thank you, sir. Next, Mr. Whitmore.
Again, welcome, Ms. Champagne, to the fold. Looking forward to watching your skill set as HR director and looking forward to meeting you personally. I'd like to thank Mr. John Childs from Mental Fitness for his comments about the program. And I certainly look forward to.
Yeah, that would be good.
I certainly look forward to communicating with the city administrator in reference to the desires of the program to have the one site versus both. Prior to the consideration of annual contracts. So just looking forward to some more information coming out on that. Thanks, Mayor.
Okay, sir. Mr. Pat Pallon.
I'm glad this evening is over.
Okay. Ms. Linda Davis.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Briefly again, welcome to the city of Fairburn, Ms. Champagne. Also, I would just like to really also say very similar things where Mayor Pro Tem said in reference to city administrators' hard work, our finance director, everything. It's just the things we're seeing at council meetings are just, excellent. And I just know that you are doing a lot of work, because these agenda books are getting thick every council meeting. So I just really appreciate, I know the hard work that you're having to do behind the scenes before everything comes to us every 2 weeks. Your excellence is noticed, and I just want you to keep it up, and thank you.
Thank you so much. And Mr. Heath. Mr. Heath.
Let me unmute myself. Okay. Just wanted to say welcome, Ms. Champagne. We really look forward to your input into working with our employees and as well with us. Also, Mr. Phillips, I just want to tell you kudos, man, to getting those limbs up for me. And everything, everybody is very ecstatic with the fact that that was taking place on Mahaffey Drive and likewise Fettville Road area. So thank you again for being a person that will go out and get the job done. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir. And then my comments again, Mr. Champagne, welcome aboard. We're excited about what you're going to be able to bring in terms of professionalism and just a specialist in your area of profession to our city staff as we continue to hire men and women in critical positions in our government. Just want to just as a note to council, again, I know we're bringing a lot to you as Ms. Davis just mentioned, the books are getting thicker, but at least 4 to 5 mornings, me and the city manager meeting in the mornings. At 7:30 in the morning, we're going over the different areas that we feel that we have to bring back to council in our efforts to bring, number one, consistency, professionalism, and most of all, just ensure that we're accountable to the money that we're spending to the taxpayer money. I want to thank Chief Brazitlo and the city administrator. We end up having a kind of an emergency meeting 8 o'clock Saturday night to address the Durham Lakes. It's my understanding that the Fairburn Fall Festival, the Renaissance Festival had its highest attendance rate in 3 years this past Saturday. And so that was indicative of some of the things that last minute change that was made at the meeting with Chief Brazitlo and the city administrator at 8 o'clock Saturday night. And again, thank you, Chief, for just being willing to help the officers to bring us, again, to bring the level of professionalism and care for our communities. I want to, again, just as we all have been aware, a city council retreat this weekend. As me and the city administrator change policies, we review leadership and everything, our goal at the end of the day is bring our city council together. We, as myself and the city manager, as the head of the executive branch, are working on bringing our staff together so that you can be proud of and men and women that you can lean on. We're, our goal is to bring our city council together. Rome wasn't built in a day, and I'm not deceived that one weekend will bring us in unison, but we've got to start somewhere, and that's where we're going to start this weekend. And so I'm excited about that. I think that does it for my comments. Mr. City Attorney, we have an executive session for, I want to make sure I'm saying a litigation.
We do, and we're gonna lead with the zoning council. And I apologize to all. My voice is a little challenged. I'm dealing with this Georgia pollen. So if I take a break to cough, it's pollen. That's all it is.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Do we have anything other than litigation? Is there?
Yeah, we're gonna have a brief conversation about Durham Lakes and where we are on that investigation, where our office is on that investigation. If we can lead with Ms. Ross, I think she's on here. We can go ahead in the executive session.
Can I entertain a motion to go in the executive session for litigation?
So moved, Councilman.
Is there a second?
Second, Councilwoman Davis.
All in favor say aye.
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 The motion carries.
And Dr. Parks, if you would allow a Debbie Harris and a Serena Noel in executive session as well.
If I'm correct, don't we need the chief of police?
So we have two litigation items.
It's two.
So thank you.
Do we need the chief of police in this one?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No problem. We don't need the chief of police.
Do you want them all to go in at the same time, Mayor?
Yes, we're good.
Yes.
Yep.
We may need, one of the items we're discussing, we may need Chief McCarthy.
I'm sorry.
What did city manager say?
One of the issues, I think we do need Chief McCarthy in the executive session.
Okay.
We're now back in regular session. Can I entertain a motion to adjourn?
So move, Councilwoman Davis, to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second, Mayor Pro Tem Portis Jones.
Second by Ms. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Aye. That motion carries. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good evening. Good evening.